Hey guys, my name is Bernie.
My name is Yasmin, and you're listening to the Fashion Fopa podcast.
This is the podcast where we have candid conversations with industry professionals about the fashion industry. It's a mouthful, I know.
You can find us on Instagram at the Fashion Fopa podcast, and individually
at King Bernie with two E's at the end,
and at Yasisaya on Instagram.
If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a review. And if you didn't know,
we're on YouTube as well now. So now that you do know, be sure to subscribe.
All of our information will be in the show notes, like always.
Once again, this is the Fashion Fopa podcast.
Let's get on with the episode.
All right. So welcome back.
Welcome back.
I'm Yasmin.
And I'm Bernie.
And you're listening to and watching the Fashion Fopa podcast. This is where we have candid conversations about the fashion industry with industry professionals.
Damn. Come on, intro.
And today, I'm personally very excited for this episode because we have the lovely Liban joining us today.
Yeah, we're big fans.
Mm-hmm. Very, very big fans. Introduce yourself, Liban.
Hi, my name is Liban. I'm a stylist. yeah, I think we met, like, I like slid in your DMs once and I'm like, yes, hey, can you assist me for this?
You did.
Well, I just moved to Montreal about like 3 months ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna plug a little story time for that one just because I was very excited when he slid in my DMs about this. Bernie knows. I had been like, I had been secretly manifesting working for you for like at least a couple months, I would say. Like as soon as I found out that you were under Folio Artists' roster for stylists, I was like, I saw your work and I was like, no, I need to assist him in at least one project.
We were stalking.
Yeah, we were stalking for a bit. And
video witchcraft.
Stalking your personal page and we were like, damn, like, he's talented and he's good looking.
We always talk about how like you look so good.
Every story
like,
you would post of just yourself, I was like skin, brows, hair. What is happening?
Thank you.
But no, I was fangirling a little bit. We both were. And then came up that you needed an assistant for a project. And when I got the DM, I was like, oh, hold on. I'm available 100%.
I was stalking too, low-key. Because like, I'm like, I know that I'm moving here, so I'm like, I'm probably like looking for like other stylists to like collab with and like assist. So I'm like, I was just saving a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And I was looking back, I'm like, wait, you follow me. So I'm just like,
exactly.
And so now we're here.
Yep. It was a really good shoot. It was so much fun. The team was great. Yeah, and the pictures came out.
Yeah. Mm. That shit did really well. Like people are still like reposting that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I see it constantly on a bunch of pages that are getting reposted and I'm just like, damn, it kind of went a little viral. Just a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
For real.
But that's all you. That was really your work and I'm very happy that I got to witness it and assist you and help.
Thank you.
I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, she was so upset because we knew that you were looking for like 1 to 2 and then when you texted me asking if she was also available, I remembered the date that you asked me for, and I was like, oh, she's styling that day. Like, she has a full-blown creative that day.
Yeah.
So,
should have canceled them.
I should have.
Honestly?
I should.
We won't go into that, but yeah, you should have.
Why did you move to Montreal?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like you mentioned, I signed with Folio. Mm-hmm. It's an agency out here. And then I signed with them in June. And then I was getting more work here than in Toronto. So I was like traveling back and forth a lot. So I decided to just like, let me just like pack my bags and just make this move. So it's just easier for me to be based here rather than just like moving back and forth a lot. And also just a change of pace. Like I grew up born and raised in Toronto. Mm. I grew up downtown in the city. So that like specialty, the whole specialness of like living in the downtown when you're in your 20s kind of wore off for me really, really quickly because I grew up there. Mm-hmm. And I went to high school, went to elementary school downtown, like would go on lunch at Eden Center. Like it was that downtown. Yeah. So
city boy from day one.
Yeah, I'm a city girl. So I just wanted to change and I'm like, okay, let me just try Montreal. and just see how it goes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now I'm here.
And do you feel like coming here was a good career move for you?
I think so, yeah. That's a really good question. Because there's just, I can say yes, mm-hmm. but I can also say no, because I just feel like I'm still like in the development stage of my career.
Yeah, it's still very early.
I've like accomplished a lot mm-hmm. within the small time frame, but like I'm also like, there's a learning curve to it. And a really big thing for me is like, I didn't start off assisting. I kind of just jumped in it right away. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just grew really quickly. And sometimes I'm just like overwhelmed sometimes, because I'm just like, do I really know? Like the imposter syndrome kicks in. I'm like, am I really prepared for like these like big campaigns and stuff? Mm-hmm. Sorry, what was your question?
No, if you feel like it was a good career
I feel like people in Toronto forget that like Montreal is its own marketplace. Like there are people here, there's so many people here that you've mm-hmm. never met before. There's a lot of great photographers, a lot of great stylists, yeah. mm-hmm. a lot of great models.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a whole new world out here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But people don't realize that in Toronto for some reason. But yeah.
So how did you get your start in the industry?
Dialing back, I was always into fashion in high school. Be laying out my like matching like Nike Dunks to like my t-shirts, like always every day after school. And then in college, like I was obsessed with thrifting. Like I would go thrifting almost every single day. Mm. It was kind of like an addiction. And I would kind of like make outfits from the stuff I thrifted on Instagram. Mm. So I just pieced things together. And I kind of grew like a little bit of a following through that, just like making outfits on Instagram and just doing fit pics. They were called fit pics before, they were even called fit pics back then. So,
trendsetter.
So just like thrift a lot. And then it would get to the point where I'd be like I would see things that would be perfect for my friends. And I'd be like, hey, like you, I should get this for you. Like this would be perfect for you. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like consciously styling for my friends when I would be thrifting. Mm-hmm. So, I was kind of styling before I was even styling. And then also like my group of friends that time, like I had a lot of retail jobs. And through there, like a lot of other people were into fashion as well. Meeting like a lot of my friends that I've worked with in retail, I'm still friends with to this day. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's also models that was, models and like other photographers that like were in my circle of friends. So I kind of just worked across and just worked with them, and mm-hmm. We would just like go outside and just like do these like impromptu like photo shoots. Like I would buy like makeup palettes myself and do the models makeup.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
I would style them. I would do the whole entire mood board. Sometimes I would even shoot it myself. Like
yeah,
if I really wanted the image, I would just like go out and do it. It wasn't great, but
it was something.
It didn't look good, but like I felt good doing it, because mm-hmm. I was like, this is my little like baby. Yeah.
You had creative control
yeah.
at the time.
Yeah, yeah. So, so long ago. Well, it really wasn't that long ago, but COVID has like fogged my memory. But so then that happened, and then like I started getting traction from that, and I decided to do like a huge leap and like, let me just do this. Take this seriously. So there's a point where I like got rid of all of my photos of myself, and then just kind of just like did my own creatives mm-hmm. and just post that. And then that started to get a lot of attention, and then a lot of like Toronto creatives were like hitting me up and asking to like do shoots. So started working with them. And at that time, like I wasn't pulling from anywhere. Like it would give Zara. It would give. Yep.
I'm not gonna lie, Zara is still the plug.
And there's no shame. Yep. I would never knock a person for like pulling from Zara or mm-hmm. like a Hudson's Bay.
Yep. Great return even, policies. So
yeah, why? Like why not? Let's plug them in. I'm just kidding. Shh, don't tell them.
No free sponsors.
But yeah, so, and also like the stuff that I would thrift, it would kind of translate to like, I would just use it in my shoots. Mm. So it's funny, because I was like living with my parents that time, and they'd be like, why do you have heels? which is a whole other story and a whole other layer of that. But they would always wonder, like, why do you have all these clothes, like dresses, and like, because they didn't know I was like into like, well, they knew I was into fashion, mm-hmm. but they didn't know I was like styling people. Mm. So it was always like I was like a Cinderella, like hiding my bags in my room or trying to hide it from them. But yeah, so then a lot of Toronto creatives hit me up, and then I started like working with like a lot of industry people. And then I think my first like actual commercial job was Roots, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. Are we dropping names out here? I don't know.
No, but yeah.
Go ahead.
Name drop.
So yeah, it was Roots, and that was funny because it was literally like my like first or second year of styling, and I got this commercial job, and I'm like, whoa.
That's really
like,
good.
I have no on-set experience, but I kind of like faked it till you make it in a way.
Yeah,
like
right.
If you pretend like you're at that level already, I think people already like believe it.
But yeah,
I guess they saw like potential and they just gave me a shot, mm-hmm. which I'm very grateful for. So I did that. Yeah, so then once I did that, I think it was like 2020, mm-hmm. like that, I think it was like January, February of that year. Mm-hmm. So then when that hit, then like I started like building off on top of that. And then I did like a couple like magazines were hitting me up as well to do like publications. Mind you, I was still working full time at a hospital, like in healthcare in the midst of like a pandemic. I was still doing this, which I think it kind of helped me in the end of the day, because at that point, like a lot of people were like taking a break, and like a lot of people were just not, they lost their creativity at that time, because it was like very scary, like people were just like also pivoting careers, and a lot of people were just like just going after what they really want in life, which is something I also was doing at that time too. So working full-time, like doing these publications, like while I was at work, like doing pull emails and everything, mm-hmm. I was like Hannah Montana living a different life. Like yeah, so then I was doing that, and then I decided to finally quit. And then that was a scary moment for me. I was like, because I wasn't living with my parents at that time too, and I was just like on my own. It was scary as hell. Mm. And then I just decided to make that jump. And then there was a time where like I don't know what I did. I think I just did a job, and then a lot of agencies were just hitting me up, and I was meeting up with a couple, and I decided to finally sign with one mm-hmm. with Folio, mm-hmm. and I think that was like June of 2021. What year are we in? 2023.
I think it would have been 2022.
Yeah. So then 2022.
And why then, did you decide to sign with Folio?
Yeah. I think mainly like, I feel like, I guess this is a whole nother question with agencies, because I feel like a lot of people ask about agencies as well, mm-hmm. with styling or with like being a model or whatever. But I think your connection with your agent or your potential agent is very important. Like if you feel like you vibe with them, or they understand you, or they, if they understand you and they really love like what you do, you want someone to like go into these rooms and like really root for you, and mm-hmm. like really put your name out there and stuff, and people that care about your development. So I decided to go with them, cause I felt like they kind of fell in line with that the most. So yeah.
And what did you study in college?
Purchasing and supply chain management.
Oh, okay.
Business admin, not styling, not fashion whatsoever. Really random. Then I was like a buyer in a hospital in Toronto. Mm. I was working in the critical care unit during COVID. So our unit had COVID patients, and like my office was like right beside the ICU, so like I would be hearing COVID patients. It was like very traumatizing.
Oh, ooh, damn. Yeah.
But yeah. Now I'm here.
Cute. We love that little fashion love story.
Yeah.
What do you feel like your biggest accomplishments have been as a young stylist? I know we talked about like landing your first gig at Roots, but pretty much since you've started working.
I think for me, like being put in positions where like I can like hire people, like hire my friends, hire people that I know and I love, and I love their work. So mm-hmm. when I'm in that position, I feel like I feel good.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. You know? That's very valid.
Yeah, I can like support people and like, you know, try to bring people up with me. I feel like that's very important. So
if you eat, they eat.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like y'all gotta get a slice of the pie.
Yeah. I feel like we kind of feel the same too. Like ever since starting the podcast, we've had the opportunities to give like mm-hmm. some people like opportunities. Like even if it's not the biggest opportunities in the world, but like, you know, it's nice to feel like something that we're creating can also help with whatever somebody else is creating, right?
Even just having people like on as guests who it's their first time ever doing a podcast, it's like it's giving them another platform to be seen and have their story heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like share their stories, you know, like I feel like a lot of times we see the work because like, of course, like I see your work on Instagram, but like I have no idea who you are behind.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah,
so it's like, I feel like there's kind of a different person that I see just from seeing your work and then like just like meeting you and like feeling your vibe, right?
So that's nice because we get to know the artists behind the actual art that we see all the time.
It's funny because you never know what someone's gonna give in real life.
No,
they could be crazy.
They could. That is very true.
I've met a lot of crazy people. You know, like, but I don't know. Like sometimes I don't know if I'm just going off in a tangent, but like. That you're completely right. Like you never know what someone is going to give in real life. Mm-hmm. And then also people have this idea of you. And like when people meet you in real life, they're like, wow, you actually like have a personality. And like you're funny. But I'm like, guys, it's not only like, I think when people just expect like an articulate artist, that's just very like
snobby
and like pretentious and
standoffish.
Yeah. But I'm like, no, I'm not like that.
No.
So what do you think is like the I've been watching Empire and there's that one line that Cookie says. She's like, the streets ain't for everybody, that's why they made sidewalks. And I was like, I felt that was so real of her.
That
but what do you feel what do you feel is like something that surprises people when they meet you, like apart from seeing your art? What do you think is something that people are like, wait, I wouldn't have expected that?
Like the whole healthcare thing, I think people don't know that.
That's fair.
That's true.
Like, you said that, and I was like, hold on.
Yeah, people don't know that because also like going back to what you said, like people never hear the story behind like the artist. So, I think people just think, oh, like you just got it. It just came to you really quickly, but I'm like, no, like, it took a lot of time to kind of develop your taste and find like your path.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that, and then also I don't have any photos of myself on my Instagram, so people just don't know what I look like. So sometimes I'm on set, they're like, oh, that's you. But I do post a lot of stories, which I'm trying to do more of. I think that people forget, like, we're actually people, you know? Like, I have a personality, I have my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is very true. I feel like a lot of creatives get many misconceptions about them.
Yeah. What are some of your What are some of the misconceptions that people have of you?
Of me?
Yeah.
That I'm intimidating, or that I'm like, that I'm intimidating, or that I, like, am not approachable, which is so funny because it's the complete opposite.
I feel like, yeah, I get that a lot too. I'm just like. What do I have to do? Like, am I supposed to be walking around with a smile on my
That's
face?
That's the thing, I don't know, like, which I find funny that I'll get that often because I feel like when I've heard this a lot from my friends, but they're like, you smile when you talk. And I'm like, that is true. So I don't understand how I get the unapproachable thing before people meet me. I don't know. It's the Instagram, but like even before I got into styling and I was just modeling, I would get that a lot of like, oh, like, I don't know. They thought that I must be pretentious or that
I think I'm all that. There's like part of projecting, but I just think like people's perception of like people who work in fashion. Like, I think there's this like
misconception that like mm-hmm. everyone who works in fashion is rich. Everyone who works in fashion comes from, you know,
little
certain,
do you know,
you know. And it's like, no, like a lot of us come from like, and that's why we started the podcast, is exactly because we want to show like real people, mm-hmm. real stories, not just like the Nepo babies and the people who like grew up with money and like yeah, like, those stories are also like
they're true
and they're worth like sharing. But mm-hmm. I think there's also like different stories like yeah. that are yeah. worth sharing, you know, that are outside of
me personally. I'm more interested in talking to the people who have actually worked to get to where they're at. But
yeah. But I mean, like, everyone has to work to yeah. get to where they're at. But it's like some people have a different set of opportunities that others
true.
Don't, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's just
some people have access to things where others don't. Which
resources,
is,
exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think like having those conversations and showing people like, hey, like not everyone mm-hmm. comes from, some people started with just like thrifting. And mm-hmm. I like when you were saying mm-hmm. thrifting, I was like, I felt that.
I felt that too.
Yo, right? To yep. this day.
Like, catch me at BB.
I literally did that for the More Than Hair production. That's all Alex and I did, was we thrifted the entire wardrobe for that
yeah.
movie.
Like, thrifting, and also just like the amount of time I've made something for a shoot. Like I've made hats, I've made
oh true
fixed some stuff to make it look how
gloves.
I wanted it. Like
I've but doesn't done. It feel a lot more better it when you do it yourself does. When you like curate it
yeah.
actually
yeah.
go out and do it uh-huh. I know it's so that's just a lot more fun to me.
Yeah, I mean there's been times I've made like a pearl hat for shoot mm-hmm. and there's probably over 100 pearls that I hand sewed into this hat.
That
yeah.
eight. I love that hat.
As I was doing it, I was like, oh my God, I don't know who the hell told me to do this. Why the hell did I want to do this? Da, 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 da. And after when I saw it on the girl, I was like, you know what? That was a good idea, but I'm
yeah.
never doing that shit again.
Yeah. It was a beautiful shot, but I can only imagine like knowing you now.
Oh my God. And I'm not the most patient person in the world. Yeah. I was losing my shit doing that. Like, I don't know how I
can picture her just being at her her desk, so it should be like, fucking hell, how many more pearls do I have
isn't
left?
Isn't it funny how like when people look at an image on Instagram, they don't like see
what goes behind it.
Yeah.
Like
I think that about that
work,
a lot.
Sweat, blood,
yeah.
tears.
I think
like
about
that
shoe.
I broke my suitcase, by the way. Like
you did?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Let me tell you.
Going down the stairs.
This shoot, I've never seen a larger suitcase. Levin looked like he was traveling to Europe for a month, bringing all this stuff up. And there was no elevator at the studio that we were shooting at. So like, even coming down after at the end of the day, you kept hearing every step. And I was like, this poor man. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I do think about that all the time. Like, especially with social media, we consume art so differently. And that's something that I've been like really trying to be conscious of like consuming art in a more intentional way and like actually have like physical possession of my art and for it to not just exist digitally. And not just like my art, but also other people's art. Like I really want to start buying records. I really want to buy like actual paintings that people made, not just like prints. I want to print out my work and like have it like physically somehow. Cause it's like people just scroll and they don't think about how like we've taken sometimes months to prep a shoot. And then they like look at it for like 5 seconds and like, that was cool shot.
They don't even read the caption.
Yeah, they forget about it. You know? And I feel like, you know, I'm like grateful that I know so many artists because we kind of feel the same way. And I know that like they appreciate what I create in the same way that I appreciate what they create.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like for the everyday consumer, like I don't know if they think
they
about
don't.
That.
But it's funny. It's funny because when I look at a photo, I look at the image, I sit and I think about it. I look at the credits. I'm like, okay, who did the hair in this? They ate. I go click on the page. And then, but then you don't realize that like the regular person that's like not into fashion, they don't like, they will like look at the image in a completely different way. But yeah, I completely agree with you. Like that's why like I love print as well, because you can just look back at it and have that like documented. And yeah, like I don't know if this is a question later on, but I want to start doing like curations where like I have my, you know, my art that's on like walls and like museums and stuff. Yeah, I've always wanted to do that.
Museum.
But yeah, if anyone's watching, where do I have
Musée des Beaux-Arts Montréal? You have a new contender.
Watching.
No.
I wanted to know, because you have a very specific like aesthetic and style. Mm-hmm. How did you find your voice as a stylist?
I was just about to ask that question.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah.
It's funny because people say that to me, but I really don't feel like I have.
Really?
I'm telling aesthetic, you.
But I know, but I get it.
I could scroll and I could look and I'm like, yeah, that's
definitely Ben.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I know where it comes from. Like, I used to play like a lot of video games growing up as a kid. Mm. And I do know like a lot. I think the shoot that we did, someone was like, oh, mm-hmm. it's giving a video game character.
Yeah. One of the outfits that we had. Yeah.
And I laughed because I'm like, I get that quite often. Uh-huh. But I was always into video games, like role playing, RPG games.
Yeah.
And like fantasy. So I think that's where it comes from, because I realized that like a lot of my work is also like very big on like futurism, especially Afrofuturism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what that whole shoot was giving, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that, and I always want to tie, I always kind of like avant-garde as well. Mm-hmm. But I see what you mean. There's always like a little like touch of like Afrofuturism, mm-hmm. at least in it. But yeah.
Yeah, because like I feel like that's one thing myself I've struggled a lot with, like finding my own, like my voice or my style. Because mm-hmm. like at first when I started styling, I just wanted to be on set. I just wanted to have set experience. I didn't really care about what my portfolio looked like. I just wanted to do enough shoots where it's like I knew what the routine was to like be able to be on set, right?
Yeah.
And then like later on, when I started having like more photos for my portfolio, I was like, okay, I should actually like think about what this looks like. Cause like mm-hmm. there was just random photos everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now I'm starting to be more proud of my portfolio and like the pictures that I have.
It's more cohesive now.
Yeah, but I still feel like there's something missing. Like it's not there yet.
You're getting there, but also like you're on a break right now too.
So. Yeah. I'm retiring from styling for a little bit.
Temporarily retiring.
We've all had our eras of just like, I'm over this.
Yep. It's okay. You'll be back.
Yeah, I'll come to you. But that's interesting that you said that, because I was like the opposite. I think that's why I found my style a lot like quicker, because I was doing the opposite. I was never on set. The only time I was on set was mm-hmm. when I did a job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then outside of that, I would just shoot outside because I was broke.
Mood.
And I couldn't afford studios. And then I remember, funny enough, there was Clubhouse, like, 2020 they would do like these portfolio reviews, and then there's like industry people. I don't know if they're actually industry people or just like people saying that they're industry people, but I remember one of the feedback that I got from someone was like, you need to start shooting in studio a lot more so you can actually like control the clothing and how it moves and how it's like structured. And that sat with me. And I'm like, yeah, going forward, I need to start doing this. And then there was these photographers that reached out to me that I worked with like for like the entire year, and they had their own studio, which was a great plus bonus. And yeah.
That's always a good plug.
Yeah.
To just know photographers or know studio owners.
No, we've
benefited from that a lot. We've
benefited from that one.
Shout out to Fitch and Francois for real. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Y'all have been very helpful.
Plugs.
I wanted to know, okay, so you talked about shooting outside compared to in studio for the stuff that you did on your own rather than a gig in itself. How do you feel like you maintain creativity in your personal projects when having consistent work for more corporate gigs? Like just the balance between working corporate, mm-hmm. making money, and still being creative and exploring yourself as an artist?
What a question. Yeah. We worked on that together.
We did.
That's a good question. I feel like a lot of like artists struggle with that, but I feel like it's like a part of your brain. You need to like keep on training that muscle. So you need to keep on training that muscle. Otherwise, if you don't, you're gonna lose strength. You know. So
I like that metaphor.
Yeah, on training it, because before you know it, you're like, wow, I don't have this. I don't have that. Like. Spark anymore. So that, and like for me it's fun, honestly. Like I enjoy doing it. Like I'll go back, I'll finish a shoot, and I'll have that like serotonin, is that the word? I don't know. Like that feeling where it's like, in comparison to like me in a commercial job, mm-hmm. doing like a 12-hour day sometimes, and then going home and I just feel like exhausted and like unfulfilled. Like doing a creative is, well, for me, always should be fun. That should be number one thing. It should be fun. So yeah, that's how I keep doing it, because it's fun to me.
Yeah. I think creatives are very important to do.
Yeah.
How do you feel about creatives?
When I was mainly doing commercial and stuff and like working corporate, I was so drained. Like I had no energy to do anything.
Yeah.
And I went from a place of like doing so many creatives and like I was like, I want to have a portfolio that makes sense, enough sense to that, to be able to present it to corporate and be able to like work and make money off of that, right? I was working in corporate and I was like living the dream of like being a stylist full time for like a couple of months, but I did not do anything creative. My creativity was like shot. I could not come up with anything because I was so drained from doing corporate stuff. And when I stopped working corporate, I just did, I was like, when I tell you I freaking unloaded the clip, I was doing so many creatives. And
she banged out like six in like what, 3-4 months or something, and I was
probably less. Like,
yeah, less than that.
Probably like between October and November, I did like six creatives. Yeah,
you had something every weekend.
Literally, it was.
That was when you were working your 9-to-5 or not?
No, I was not working corporate anymore.
She just stopped.
Yeah, because I was doing like assisting at a corporate job, and I just did like a bunch of creatives, and now I kind of transitioned and I work in social media. But like, I don't know, it's kind of hard because it's like, to be able to make a money as a stylist, to be able to make money as a stylist, like you need to work corporate.
Yeah.
Because that's where the money is. Like you can't really live off of creatives.
Yeah. Get your money up so you can get your funny up.
But the thing is like, when you work so much in corporate, I feel like it kind of shuts your creativity. So like, I don't know, like I'm trying to find like a balance into that. And now I'm kind of like, I feel like I've done enough stuff. I think my portfolio looks great.
Yeah.
Like there's still some stuff that I feel like I could probably improve on, just like everybody else. But I don't feel the need to like do more creative just to do a creative, you know? Like now I want to, if I'm going to do a creative, I want to do something that I genuinely like believe in, and it's like it sparks something in me. It's like like, you know, and I don't think I've found something that's like worth my, that's like lighting that thing up
worth
again,
all your energy,
you know?
Also,
even when I was like shooting those creatives, like a lot of them I was just doing because I just wanted to get back on set and actually have fun being on set and not just like be corporate, you know, corporate. So
I think people forget that like creatives for stylists are very expensive.
That part,
people will be DMing me and messaging me, let's do a creative. I'm like, you guys know, like I can at least, I think if maybe this is just, I don't know, like advice, anyone that's watching or listening, try to like cap yourself and be like, okay, I can only do one a month or like probably like 2 a month, because they do get expensive.
Credit goes up.
Credit goes up, and then pockets go
down.
Pockets go thin, you know. But
yep.
And I, yeah, it's not like it's not like you're a makeup artist where you just bring your kit and then and you go home, or like a photographer. I mean, I guess everyone has expenses that they're putting into, but I feel like stylists spend the most money.
Yeah,
if you want it to look good, you spend the most money.
We probably have the most financial risk too, right? Because if the clothes are ruined, you can't return them.
Yeah.
Too. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You have to be so careful.
And if you pull from like
local.
Yeah. It's like you can't, like it kind of ruins your relationship with whoever you pulled from. So if we have a lot of like risk when it comes to our reputation, and it also a lot of risk when it comes financially too, right? That like other people may not have as like big of a risk.
But it ruins your relationship, but it also ruins like the person's like perception of stylists.
Right.
And then they're like, I'm never letting a stylist pull for me ever.
Right.
For some reason, people like think stylists are just like the devil. I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't know, like a lot of people have like horror stories, or I'm talking about like designers, maybe like designers specifically, or like people that like worked with stylists. They have like bad, they come across like bad stories with them. So I feel like they kind of like wipe their hands clean with all of them.
Right.
So I feel like if you ruin that one garment, then they're just gonna be like, you know what? I'm not dealing with any stylists anymore. And then you kind of ruin it for the person after you.
Yeah. That's so true.
That's very true.
And it's, even like retail stores kind of hate us because we always come back returning and they'd be giving us.
I know the girls at Zara are just looking at us like, these bitches again.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys like pull a lot from Zara, or do you like?
I mean, we've been together a handful of times. Yeah, in the
but
last
the thing
few
is,
months.
Sometimes I'd be smart about it. I just order online and I just return.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with Zara, people just buy loads of shit and they just return it. Like, people won't know if it's actual. Like,
that's true. They won't necessarily know if it's for us or if it's for someone else. I mean, sometimes it's kind of obvious depending on the sizing that we're returning.
Yeah.
But.
If I'm returning extra small, it's kind of.
Y'all know. That ain't me. Come on now. You know? But I kind of wanted to touch a bit more. I thought of another question randomly as we were talking about perceptions and the maintaining of income and how expensive creatives can be. I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of stylists can relate to this in general, but especially, I guess, for those of us who are younger and who our families have been kind of like semi-involved, but not really within our career process. How do you feel like you've tried to explain to other people or to parents or family members or whoever, or try to convince them that what you're doing is worth it? Because a lot of the time, especially for me, I've had to convince parents, grandparents, family members, anytime that I see them at like gatherings and stuff, that, you know, it's something that's worth it for me. But for them, they're always going to see it as like, oh, like, it's great that you want to be creative and that you want to do something that you enjoy, but this is not consistent money. It's not substantial. Yeah. How are you going to survive off this, et cetera, et cetera. So
triggered.
Yep. So what do you feel like have been your experiences with perceptions like that, or how do you feel like you've tried to justify or explain yourself to people?
I feel like it's my parents just don't understand like the concept of buying and returning. My parents are African.
Yep.
Like my family, like some, we're all Somali, first generation like immigrants. So they don't understand like, why are you buying all these clothes just to return it? And also styling is just funny to explain to someone like that. Like my mom was the type of person back in the day, she'd be like, you only need one shoe. One for school, maybe one for like nice, like a wedding or something. You want to go to a wedding or something. Yep. You only need two shoes. Like the fact that my mom would see I would have like so much shoes, she would just be like, I don't understand. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
So I know it's like ones. Two different, we're in two different worlds. And also, like, I would have to explain, I'm like, yeah, this is, like, styling, like, this is, like, how I can make money. But they just don't, like you said, you just don't, like, they don't get it. But, like, you just have to, like, I hate to say it, but just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And they'll come around eventually.
Yeah. I don't know. It took me a while
it's
for...
It's very easy for you to, like, be discouraged by, like, your parents.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not saying don't listen to your parents. Like, yeah, it's your parents. But, like, if you really want it, you have to just go for it.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of times, like, my parents would be like, this is not something for you. Like, you won't make money. Like, ever. You have a whole degree.
Triggered.
And, like, just go to, like, why? When I left my healthcare, like, job that, like, paid really well with great benefits in the middle of the pandemic, my parents were so mad.
Oh.
They were so angry. They're like, you're doing this to put clothes on. Sorry, I'm just like, as I'm explaining it, I'm like remembering the reaction. I'm like laughing so hard in my head. Like, it's just so funny. But at that time, I was like so distraught.
Yeah. Because
it's like the last thing I need is for my parents not to believe in me too.
Yeah.
So the fact that like I had made that huge jump and then like my parents didn't support me either. So it's just like, I'm like, damn, like I was really hungry, but.
I felt that too. Yeah, it's just it took a while for me to kind of get them to come around, and even now, like, I've just gotten my grandfather around to it, like maybe a year ago or so, because I went to fashion school and he was not about the fact of me going to fashion school whatsoever. They thought it was a phase. They thought, like, well, my grandparents said anyway. My parents, my mom was on board with it as long as I got the grades. My dad very much threatened me and was like, if you slip up in one semester, you are moving back home and, like, you're going into communications or, like, something, another program that you got accepted in. So, but no, like, it took a while to get my parents around to it. And I had a government job at one point that was, like, a casual contract for 4 months on, 4 months off, and then on again for, like, a term situation. Mm-hmm. And when I wasn't able to be offered a full-time term position, or when I did get an opportunity to come back to Montreal, move here, do a creative position that was making me less money than government, because if you've worked government, you know that check, when it comes in every 2 weeks, it's very healthy looking in that account. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You become everybody's sugar mama for, like, the dinners after that point for a bit. But it's nice numbers to see, but the job wasn't fulfilling, which was very hard to explain to them. Mm-hmm. But no, they were like, not about it at the beginning. They were like, you can do both if you want to, you know, do the 9 to 5 and then do your little, that's how they would always describe it, do your little styling stuff on the side on the weekend. And I'm like, it's not.
Not little.
It's not little. And it's not like this is not a hobby that I can just do on a weekend. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not, it was hard to explain for a bit, but I'm not, like, controversial as it may sound, if your parents are somewhat or even semi involved within your life or your career process and what you decide to do for a living, especially if they supported you financially throughout school and stuff, and they might not be coming around to the idea of what you want to do creatively in your career. I'm not saying that you got to burn bridges, but I'm saying if you have to defy them a little bit, maybe it's okay.
Be the rebel.
Yeah. Be the rebel child for a bit and just don't, I would just kind of move in silence until you can, especially with immigrant parents or, like, second gen parents, just move in silence until you can show them something physically substantial to prove that, like, you're able to do something.
And, like, this. I don't want to be that girl, but
be that girl.
Fuck it, I'm gonna be that girl. They might never come around.
Yeah, that's, they just might.
The tea.
That's the, like, risk.
That's just the reality. You can do the biggest things. You can do, like, I've done it all. I've been published. I've worked in some big jobs. I've worked in big companies. I've worked with big people. I've done it all. Okay, I've done it all in the fashion, side, and, like, outside of just fashion, just getting recognized and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it hasn't been enough for them to be like, we see where this is going. You know what I mean? So for some people, they might come around, and that's great. Mm-hmm. For some people, you don't even need to do anything for them to come around. They'll just believe you off rip.
Yep.
But for some other people, that might not be the case. Mm-hmm. But, like, you shouldn't let that stop you from doing what you want to do.
Nope.
And, like, I don't know. It's kind of cool to be a rebel. I'm taking that badge proudly.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's your brand.
Yeah, it really is my brand.
I feel like it's different when you're, like, also, like, a man as well. Because, like, I'm the oldest boy in my family. So
you're the first,
like,
child. We all are.
You could have been building homes, you know? Like, like, I could have been building homes, but I'm putting clothes on people. So, like, my parents just didn't understand. But, but yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to touch a bit on your experience with stylists in general, because, I mean, we all do the same thing, but it's unique for every single one of us because we're all different people. But what do you feel like some of your unique experiences have been working in the industry, a stylist, a male stylist, a person of color, and queer as well? What do you feel like has been?
Me? I don't know. I feel like people just, like, typecast you and they just expect you to be a certain way. There's just so many different, like, variables to it. Like, I've been on sets where, like, I'm the youngest person and, like, it's a bunch of, like, a lot older people.
Oh, I felt that.
Especially in Montreal, like.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot.
In Montreal, I feel like more so, like, it happens here a lot more.
It's not just old, it's old and.
And French. Mm. Yeah.
Woo! I got that from you on your TikTok. I was like, let me not say the word. Let me just.
Old in YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, like, that, and then also, like, trying to like fight and try not fight, fight, but like fight the whole idea where they just think you're young and inexperienced and you're not like, you don't have the experience. So yeah. There's just so many different like variables into it. So you're mm-hmm. not only you're trying to like tell people like, I can do this job just because I'm not as old as you are.
Yeah.
I can still do it.
Maybe I can even do it better.
Definitely can, but that's another story. But yeah, also like in Montreal, like the fact that I'm not like a French speaker as well, like there'll just be sets where everyone's speaking French and I'm like, what is going on here? Like,
yeah.
How am I supposed to be involved in the creative process when when you guys know, mm-hmm. first of all, they know that I don't speak French. And I think they're purposely doing it to like ice me out.
Oh, a lot of them are. Trust me.
I know. Like, I'm not dumb. Like, I know they're doing this. Like, but
even us being fully bilingual, French speaking first, it's like you see it a lot when people are not accommodating to others on set.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know. I don't know if about y'all, but I've definitely had like a few like condescending experiences. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I remember specifically on set because I worked with a brand for like a little chunk of time when I first came to Montreal.
I feel like I know the story you're
and
about.
So. And I've always been the kind of person to know to not reveal my age because I always knew that I was always the youngest person there. In the room, you know? Yeah. And I think like sometimes it's obvious that I'm the youngest person there, but then sometimes I can slide. Mm-hmm. You know, because of the way that I speak, whatever, like they can be like, oh, you know, you
how
might
you
not
carry
look,
yourself too.
Yeah, you might not look that old, but like maybe like your vibe is kind of giving old, right? And I remember when they found out my age, I was being called like child on set,
like actual child,
like yeah,
as a joke or like they're serious.
But it doesn't matter if it's a joke. That's the thing, because
it's
like
a condescending comment.
It's so condescending and it's like belittling because I'm not walking around calling these people who could be like my parents,
father,
or even like older than my parents, like grandpa, you know what I mean, or grandpa, you know, like there's a certain sense of like condescendingness, you know, and just like also certain like sly comments that are being made, especially when you're the only black person on set, where it's like you know that these comments are being made because you're the only black person on set, and it wouldn't have happened if you were someone who was white.
Which is
definitely unfortunate. And I also have even heard stories of like women being on set and like certain comments because they're women, when it's like all like a set full of men, you know. So it's like those things that we have to like navigate when you're the minority. And like you would think that because the fashion industry is so like controversial and it's like extravagant and whatever, that like people who are queer, people who are women and people of color who might not have like the same opportunities in real life, that like in the fashion industry it wouldn't be like that, but it's like
it's the same
and it's just kind of a small little shot of what society is like outside of like this industry. So I don't know, it's like I really hope that that whole dynamic changes, but I think like as much as we're seeing societally how this dynamic is being or like the changes of that dynamic is being pushed back, it's probably going it's the same way in like the fashion industry, where it's like you kind of have to bite your tongue, you know. And there's been times like I had to like bite my tongue and like not say anything, because it's like it's either I say something or I
fired.
Keep a job, you know what I mean, and I keep a contact, because at the end of the day, like I live by myself, I have bills to pay, I don't have anyone to like rely on. So it's like a weird and complicated dynamic, and sometimes it's like unfortunate that you kind of have to like put your values to the side a little bit to be able to like survive.
It hurts my pride a lot when shit like that happens, and I'm just like, but you know, rent is due.
Isn't that so like, can I swear?
Of course.
Isn't that so fucked?
It's so fucked.
It is. It's like, very fucked.
Everything, you have to like hold your tongue just so that like this whole like just being a stylist, I feel like it's all about like reputation and like saving, like you said, contacts and stuff, and making sure everyone's happy and maintaining those relationships. So the minute you mess, even the minute you like ruin that relationship, and it could be just based off of what someone did to you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's a contact.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is this person even worth working for?
Mm-hmm.
At this point.
Triggered.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, it's a weird dynamic, especially when you're new to the industry. I think that's like the worst part, because it's kind of like you don't want to like burn any bridges, because that could potentially ruin like your
reputation as a stylist.
And just like future stuff too, that like you might not be able to get because of the fact that like you burn a bridge with like this person, you know, and like you'd never know who that person knows.
That's the thing. That's a lot of thing that people forget in this industry, is that as much like you could get whatever degree you want, you can go to the best fashion school or whatever, but at the end of the day, the nice part and the scary part about it is that it's really about who you know and what you know. And people forget that
not
in this industry,
what you know, because there's so really many people who you know don't have any experience, who don't have no portfolio, and they work big job. It has nothing to do with that. It's who you know, it's and who knows you.
Yeah. But that's simple, what people forget a lot of time, is that people know people in this space, and it's a lot smaller than we think it is. So if you mess up one opportunity with one client, they could have 10 other people under their belt that they're now shit talking about you because of one thing that you decided to stand your ground for. And now it's like, oh, well, they're impossible to work with, or they're a diva, or they're like,
isn't it funny? Cause that could, it could be the smallest thing. It could be the smallest thing someone cannot hire you for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, he didn't have this one clip in his kit.
He didn't bring me my coffee order.
He's
correctly
unprepared.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, something, but or like didn't have a steamer, God forbid. Like, I don't know anything, but it happens, and it's unfortunate, but hey, we're pushing through, aren't we? We're still here.
Yeah,
barely.
I'd love to know, what are some of your dream gigs?
Mm-hmm.
What are some shit you're manifesting?
Oh. Yeah, on your vision board, what you got going on over there,
or some things you've manifested
that
and
have
that
come
happened
true. Yeah.
Or both. Mm-hmm. Some things you manifested that happened, something you're manifesting to happen.
It's funny because we actually never, I'm not going to say we, but I never like look back and be like, oh, I actually really wanted that. And it happened.
Interesting.
But.
Really?
I know, I'm ungrateful.
Because I'm the type, I'm like, write this down, write this down. I'm telling her,
she tells me this all the time.
Literally. Who's an artist I've been manifesting to meet and work with for like ever since I discovered his music. Which
how many years ago was this?
It's been like 3 years now that I discovered his music.
Mm-hmm.
It was during the pandemic.
You want to name drop him real quick?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
When y'all see me, Style by Bernie.
Not
it's not. Okay. When y'all see Style by Bernie, then I'll be able to brag about it.
Okay.
But I don't know how the hell he ended up following me and whatever. But not from in my head with besties. Okay. And
I mean, the way y'all talk, your besties at this
that's
point.
My locked that's in and no switching up. I was like, you should come to Montreal, like you should come to Canada
to perform.
I feel like, you know, he's like an English his music is in English, so like maybe Toronto, but I was like, I feel like you would like Montreal better. He's like, you know, like
it
I'll
looks
think
like
about
his
it
vibe more.
Yeah,
where's he from again in the States?
Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other day, he DM'd me. He's like, yeah, we figured it out. We're coming to Montreal. Like, I'll let you know the info. I was like,
we're going to that concert.
I said, okay.
We're going to that. I'm excited.
Okay. We're in for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of time I'll be telling Yasmin, I'm like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, that's why she calls me a witch, guys. If ever you guys hear that, it's because I be manifesting shit and it happens.
Oh, no,
God,
but
I
it's.
This one friend, like, anytime I say something that I want, and I'm beside him, like, it happens. It's really creepy.
That used to happen to me before in high school. I don't remember who the person was now, but it does. It used to happen often. But now, like, it's really more so a question of if I am speaking something into existence or if I say something to her that I want to happen, she's like, write it down. Write it down.
Write this down. Write this down.
Convince yourself that it's already a thing.
You know this meme? I don't know if you guys know that meme. It's, I think it's a pastor. He's like, write this down. Write this down. Write this
it
down.
Yeah, it is a pastor.
If you've gone to heaven and you do not see me there, you've not gone to heaven, you've gone to hell.
That's a Nigerian pastor, huh? I think I saw that.
I think about the, it's, it lives in my head rent-free. Anyways.
Oh my God.
Back to the question.
Yes. Vision board stuff.
Just being able to like work for magazines and like go to New York and work in New York. I feel like that was something that I always wanted to do. And, and I was lucky enough for it to happen. Future, I think it's about time I get a cover. Just putting that out there. Like,
oh, yeah.
I need a cover.
Like, you do.
I'm just working towards that.
Might want to talk into the mic.
Yeah.
Sorry, I need a cover. What else? Like, I want to style like runways for like a big brand. I want to be a fat. Oh my god, I'm letting y'all know everything, huh?
Yeah. Like, this episode won't be released for a bit, so okay. Yeah. Speak it into existence now, and it might happen by the time that's launched.
Just be a fashion editor for like a magazine that like I enjoy to work for.
Yeah. That's like an ultimate goal of mine.
That'd yeah. be sick.
Yeah.
Working for like a brand. Like a designer brand, like being their like creative director or being their art director.
I could see you doing that.
I'm trying to like, I kind of want to pivot.
I don't know why, but I see Pierre Moss for you. For some that reason. That
makes sense.
I see Pierre Moss.
That does make
like,
sense.
Kirby, I see you work.
Kirby, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
He's so, I'm
obsessed with Kirby Jean-Amal. Oh like, my that's God. My guy.
He's so.
That's my bestie.
I'm dead. Yeah, his work is really amazing.
It is.
And yeah, I love how like he talks about like fashion and his work. Like for me, just watching his interviews, that's what really made it for me.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think him and like Laquan Smith are two people that I look at and I'm just like, yeah, I'd love to work for either one of them one day.
Yeah.
He's really good too.
So what are some of the things we should expect from you in the near future?
Yeah.
Ooh.
What you doing soon?
Mm-hmm. What do we need to stay tuned for?
What's the tea?
Yep.
We're so annoying.
I know.
You know what I always wonder, I'm like, I wonder if people like have me on post notifications when I post something on my Instagram. They're like, oh my god, did you see the new thing Liban dropped? Like
we be sharing it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we sharing it.
In my mind I always laugh about it. I'm like, I wonder, like
people
even like,
even before I worked with you, when you would post stuff, I'd be like, girl, you see this? You see this right now? Look at how Mrs. eats. Oh, leaves no crumbs.
But you know what I love? Sorry, I'm going really off.
That's fine.
The train, but I love when people like look at your work and like be like, "Oh, it's not just like a hard eye comment or like a fire emoji. Like it's like, I really loved what you did here. I see the reference that you went for, and like, this is how I feel like. This is what I feel like you're going for.
Those are the best compliments.
And I'm like, wow. That's sometimes you don't even. That's not even what you're going for, but I'm like, wow. The way that your outlook on it.
Yeah. Perception.
Yeah. Everyone has
that's the theme of the day. Perception.
Yeah. Yep.
Everyone has like their own experience with like art, you know?
Yeah.
Even like consume it.
Yeah. And even like yourself, like as you're creating, you have your own experience when you're done creating it, you have another experience with it. And like, I think that's what's so beautiful about art. Cause I feel like even something that you're creating, it does not belong to you. Like the experience that someone else has with it, it's like their own, you know? And that's why I always feel like, once you release your art, it does not belong to you anymore because everyone's going to have like their own perspective on it, you know. And I think that's what's so like cool about art. Like it's cool. About the experience, you know.
Yeah.
And like it's kind of like a visual diary. Like this is how I felt at this moment.
Right.
Like I was pissed off. I was mad at the world. I had one penny in my account, but like I made it work. So I'm like. So it's funny just going back and like looking at like the old work that I do. Sometimes I cringe, but like sometimes I'm like, you know what? Let me just keep it there because I want people to see that evolution.
Right. I felt that.
But yeah.
The near future.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. future. I'm trying to get out of like Canada, like working on that visa. Working on that visa.
We're trying to go to New York Fashion Week.
Yeah, we're trying to go.
That's soon. That's next month, you know?
Not this month. In September.
In September.
We're not going during the winter. Better.
I went. I haven't been in a while, actually. Europe. Yeah, I need a tour in Europe.
Have you been to Europe before?
No, actually. So Paris, maybe London. I need to like.
We'd have to go with you to Paris because I feel like already you've had your experience here in Montreal. That's true. I don't know if.
But like I've been watching Emily in Paris, and I feel like I feel like I'm good enough. I feel like I'm ready.
Oh my god! All the French people are hating right now.
Yeah, they hate that show.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god!
We're doing you a favor. That show is booming the tourism industry.
That, you know what? That is very true. But for the people who watch the show and think that is what Paris is like, I'm sorry to crush your dreams.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It is a beautiful city filled of life and romance and vibes and energy, but it is not Emily in Paris. I can tell you that.
Yeah,
much.
For sure. Like, I've heard so many stories about people saying that, like, a lot of, like, people romanticize it a lot, and it's
they
not.
Do.
It's nothing like what it is in person. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just good to experience. I feel like that's with any city, like
any people. City, any country.
Like, yeah. Montreal. I thought Montreal was gonna be something else, but it's not. No shade.
We still romanticize it to this day, even yeah. when we're just like doing the.
You kind of have to. You kind of have to be delusional.
You have no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So visa, working on that, going out and like maybe like a worldwide agency, being underrepresented by that.
Mm. Going international.
Yeah.
Period, baby.
She's giving right. world tour.
Yeah. Yeah. In a bit, we'll be like, we had him on our podcast first. Okay,
y'all are getting him on the social. Y'all are getting him on freaking. What are the other talk shows that could be like?
E Talk.
I've always wanted to be on like America's Next Top Model, and just be like La Roche or like maybe one of those people from the older seasons. Just be like, I expected more from you.
I want to be on Next in Fashion, Tan France's Netflix show that he does.
Is that show still on?
It's supposed to be coming back for a second season.
I'm like, how come there are no styling competition shows?
Oh my God.
That's so true. Like, I always see stylists come in to review the design competition shows. Yeah. Or even like, even the freaking, what's it called? That Is It Cake show on Netflix? Mm-hmm. Jason Bolden judges that show. He's one of the guest judges that's on that show. And I'm like...
He has his own Netflix series, right?
He does.
It didn't get extended, though.
No, it didn't get extended.
But it was really good.
He had a little Netflix docu-series with him and Adair Curtis, his partner, yeah. but...
See, that's what I want.
I
don't know if this is like a future goal, having a man, but... but I want like a partner that like...
Yep.
We have like a business together. And I'm styling, and they're like they're doing.
He does all the logistics. His partner, yeah. Jason.
And I think
Bolden.
His partner also does like interior design.
Yeah.
So they
very
like,
talented.
They like they kind of work off each other because like his clients will like go. I think one time they had like Gabrielle Union or someone.
Gabrielle
on show.
Union and Dwayne Wade and are
also
one
needed,
of the clients.
Like, the house,
yeah,
right?
They needed the house, and but they're also
so styled
old friends of Jason yeah. and Adair in general. So he styles them all the time. But now they have a little baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, like, it kind of works together. But yeah, that's what I want. But I'm not like, that's not a goal. Like,
I mean, if it's a goal, it's a goal. It doesn't have to be a short term goal, but like long term. No, but for real, though, I feel like a lot of people want that. They want the whole picture eventually when it comes
to
that
for
people who do want a partner and kids and all that stuff. So.
Okay, last question that we have for you,
yes.
That I have for you.
Yeah.
Actually, it's like a two-parter. Mm-hmm. What are some of your faux pas that you've had in your career?
And things that you wish you knew.
And then what are some advice you would give to that person who made those mistakes?
Mm-hmm. Like myself?
Yeah, your younger self.
That's what the show's called, the Fashion Faux Pas.
Whole
lot of faux pas.
A whole motherfucking
whole lonesome.
We all make mistakes.
Yep.
Just going back to what I said, like I wasn't I never assisted before, so I would make a lot of mistakes. So it's just like learning from your mistakes. But I'm trying to think of like one example. Okay, so in the beginning, for some reason, I would never like stay on. I didn't know you needed to stay on set.
Like if after. You're on,
no, like say like. Things are being shot. You need to stay on set so you can like see the clothes. Like I would just like walk up back upstairs and like start steaming. Mind you, that's mainly because I never had assistance.
Yeah,
so
that's what they're
so
for.
So I can't be two places at one time. So I would like try to go upstairs, steam clothes while also trying to look at the clothes, but they need me back downstairs too to like
adjust.
To monitor and make adjustments. Mm-hmm. So that was like a feedback that I got and like I need to work on. That was like a faux pas. Like trying to dress up too much on set, like it's not fashion show. Like wear your sweats.
Yeah.
Like and I'm like a lot of assistants would I find do that too. Mm-hmm. Like just leave the heels at home.
Yeah.
But like I also would dress up too, but like
I was gonna say for the shoot that we did together, I mean, it's both different.
Like this is my everyday though.
Yeah, he fully came in like a full leather outfit for the shoot, and ooh. But even me, I was like, I'm not gonna work with Lieben and not come kind of correct, so I That's put true. Jeans on for him and a little leather jacket.
Oh, you put jeans on for me.
I did, because whenever I work with her and we insist together, we look crusty,
busted.
Oh,
but don't you guys? I don't know if this was a question earlier, but isn't it funny how this is all back to perceptions. When people ask you like what you do and you tell them you're a stylist, I feel like they think stylists have to look good all the fucking
yeah,
time.
Like, opposite.
Huh?
Oh. I feel it's like opposite? It's the opposite a lot of the, or no, it's the opposite of what it actually is. Yeah. Like yeah, they assume yeah. that you look good all the time, but wait till you see us on set.
A mess.
Yeah. Oof, hot mess.
Especially when you're pulling, like you can't be wearing a look the entire time. Also yeah. every day, like when I'm just going on walks, like, I'm not wearing an outfit. Like
no.
So yeah. it's funny when people give the little up and down when they ask when you tell them you're a stylist.
Yeah, no,
that's why. Like, I just be like, right, I work in fashion. Yeah, and that's my answer. You're not getting anything else from me. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna start saying that now, because if you see me and I happen to look good, you caught me on a good day.
Then I'm gonna tell you I'm a stylist.
If
yeah, exactly. I'll be like, yeah, I'm a stylist.
If you see me and I look busted, you did not see me.
Yeah, I'm gonna just say I work in fashion and social media. That's about it. That's all you're getting from me.
I'm gonna start wearing sunglasses when we look busted out and about on set and stuff, because no face, no case.
No, dead ass.
I'm through with that.
Dead ass. And like, we've been recognized in the streets before. Yeah. So like, yeah. Every time it happens, I look busted.
That's the worst part. We'll be running into people, or people who will come up to us and like have seen work that we've done.
They're like,
before.
"Are you King Birdie?"
Yeah, and I'm just looking at her and I'm like, "Oh,
not the IG name."
Okay, celebrity.
You know what I mean? Like, bro,
come on now,
be for real.
Oh my goodness. Anyway,
not today. I'm not.
No, today it's just burned.
Yeah,
leave me alone. Go back to your home. Okay, we ain't talking about that today. Anyways,
I don't know if I answered. What was the second part?
The advice you would give to your younger self.
What would you tell little Lieben?
And what would you tell like any stylist starting out?
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. Because you guys need to hear. I'm just kidding. Okay, I can go on for hours, but I think in the beginning, I feel like with a lot of like people starting off styling, they want things right away. Mm. So they need to just realize nothing's going to happen right away. It's not realistic. You're not going to get everything in 1 year. Mm-mm. You're not going to work with the people you want to work in the first year.
Nope.
So work across. That's my biggest thing. Mm. Stop trying to like get the biggest thing, or like try to work with like photographers that have been doing it for years. And because no shade, like if you have like one photo of your cat on your page and you don't have any work, you know what I mean? Like, what makes you think you'd be DM a photographer that
actually
has like 10
all
years
the shade?
Under? Yeah, I'm just trying to be honest.
I've seen people's pages like that where they're, you know, calling themselves stylists, and I'm sure they are, but I look at their Instagram and I'm like, where's the work? Yeah. Where's the
content? I 100% believe in like calling yourself what you want to be, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think there needs to be work behind that, you know, like
I have to have visuals to what you're calling yourself as well.
If you're calling yourself a stylist and I don't see the styling, then
you know, that's my biggest, not the stat in particular, but if I go on your page and I don't know what you do, that annoys me for some reason.
Me
I don't
too.
Know why. Yeah. It's you such a weird pet peeve of mine. Like,
yeah,
I'm glad
this,
you brought
that. I'm like, so what are you trying to do? Like, if you're messaging me asking to like assist,
ooh,
and I see like plates of food. Okay, maybe I'm just being mean.
You know what?
No. Like, I get that.
You know what I mean? Like, I need to know that you're already going out there doing the work. And I think that's what I told you when we worked together. Yes. Like, I'm like, the reason why I was drawn to her, because she's already out there doing it.
Yeah.
And I find that like a lot of people, they don't even know if they want to do it or not. Yeah. So then you work with one person and they realize they're not, this is like not what I expected it to be. Because they think it's fantasy. They think it's like all like peaches and cream, but it's not. Like it's a lot of like heavy lifting, a lot of work, a lot of emails.
Yeah. It's
so, like, I'd rather just work with someone that's already knows what it is.
Yeah.
I
agree, but I'm so glad that you brought it up, because like I'm a firm believer that if you're not, this is gonna sound so bad.
I feel like I know what you're gonna say.
if okay, just if your sorry. Social media is not being used for like a purpose, mm-hmm. like if you're just a regular scroller, I don't understand why you're online. Like, mm-hmm. no shade.
Honestly, I personally that I would is not probably exist. Some of the realest shit you've said.
Yo, I would not exist online if I was not working in social media, if I was not doing the podcast, if I was not a stylist. Like, yeah. I would not be existing online.
I would have deleted Instagram a long time ago.
I would have been
especially like, how Instagram is today.
Bro, oh, when I tell it's you broken. I would literally be incognito. Yeah, and like, that's why I love, like, I have so many friends who, like, they don't really work like on social media, like they don't have a purpose to be on social media, mm-hmm. so they're literally not on social media. Like, I don't understand people who are
me. It's the opposite. On social media. I have friends who are they have the accounts, they're on there, but like
they don't post, they don't do anything about it.
But for the ones that I do have who don't post on their personal page, they have their other business pages that they have mm-hmm. on social media. So like they're active because they have those other
exactly
accounts.
Because they have a business, they do something that. They requires you to be that's on social
funny,
media.
That's such like, a funny thing to say. Yeah.
If you're online,
but you have to remember, like, it's still a social network. You know, people. That's like, true. I have friends that don't use it for anything, so they just use it to like
communicate
to connect it people. On their Tinder or like you know I what I mean. Like, it's somewhere to have photos.
I think what I'm trying to say is like, me personally, if I had no purpose to be online, I would not be online.
Yeah,
like I would be in. When I tell you King Bernie would be deleted tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, if ever I change career, I'm out of social media, like 100%. So that's just me.
But I'm glad you brought up the point of, like, if I don't know what you do.
No, I don't know when why I look drives, at your page. That drives me insane for some
that
reason.
That reminded me of, like, something that happened recently because I got contacted by someone through DM to be like, oh, hey, so-and-so recommended you to me. Like to be able to get my artist right, and I was just like,
"Your what?"
To get to style their artist. It was just the way that they worded it, and I was just like,
"Who are you?"
Yeah, first of all, who? Second of all, who is this person that recommended also, you to me? And also, like, this is another thing that I took from her because I used to put up with this a lot. But people like contacting me or inquiring my services about stuff through DM, like email
me. I don't do that shit.
Email me.
I don't do that shit.
Don't come to me on a proposition of I want you to style me for this, that, and the third on a DM. And don't come to me if you don't have a concept and if you don't have an idea, a mood board, a budget, a tentative like date or time frame, whatever. So I told the guy, I'm like, he told me the name of or sent me the page of whoever it is that recommended it to me. I don't know that man from a can of paint. I don't recognize him at all. So I guess they've met me before. If I forgot or if I don't remember the encounter, I apologize. It happens. But
you're so real for this.
But like, no, but this could have easily been someone that we met at our event. Yeah, because we were so disassociated, I just don't remember. But, you know, I told them, I'm like, if, like, just email me with what it is that you're looking for exactly, all the information, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And have I heard from this person yet on email?
No, because they're not that serious. And I feel like this is the last thing I'm about to say because I swear I'm about to go on tangents and rants. I feel like, and that's one thing I've noticed, like, specifically in Ottawa, and I'm sure it happens in other cities,
this was an Ottawa person. Yeah, so
one thing I've noticed is, like, the way that they reach out to certain people who just started out, the way that sometimes they reach out to women, like, the way that they reach out, because, like, in Ottawa, it's very much a numbers game. The way they reach out to certain people who have more numbers is through emails. It's professionally. It's, like, it's done in a way that's, like, professional, you know? It's, like, if I'm trying to work in this industry professionally, I'm not going to get reached out to through DMs. At most, people might DM me to ask me for my email, which is in my bio. By the way,
it's really, like, if you, we have a business page for a reason. Mm-hmm. If you go onto our page, there's the contact
not okay can
and
I
if not that
can I be devil's advocate
because
I was talking to my friend about this to you a couple of weeks ago. I felt the same way. I'm like, just don't. I used to be so annoyed. People used to DM me for like business stuff. But I think she was telling me that like that's just like the new form of communication now, and like going back to what you said, why are you online if you don't have an if your Instagram's not for business, like Instagram's for
that's
business
true.
Now.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I
true.
Mean?
That's but I always redirect people to my email.
Yeah, just be like, can we just move this to
an email conversation?
Because you just always want to have like a thread. Like, yeah. you want to make yeah. sure that what they were telling you, even yeah. like when people, like we do a phone call, I'll send them an email with a resume of what we spoke on yeah. the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you
yeah.
always want to have a something in writing. You always want to yeah. be able to have access to your conversation easily. Mm-hmm. It's just like, for me, if I know you're reaching out to certain people, like a photographer that has more experience or whatever, yeah. in a certain way, and you're not giving me that same courtesy,
same respect, yeah.
I like, feel like that's a little not? Bit disrespectful.
It is.
Yeah.
And I found that a lot of, I noticed that a lot of people were doing that specifically to, like, in Ottawa, mm-hmm. to the girls yeah. in mm-hmm. the industry. And that was very weird to me, because I'm like, I know you're not reaching out to, I'm not going to name drop, but I know you're not reaching mm-hmm. out to so-and-so and that person that way.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And also, like, it's not even in terms of just reaching out. Sometimes people won't even reach out to you directly for what they want, and they will use somebody else to play messenger
yeah.
for things.
So it's, like, little things like that that, like...
And it's very irritating.
That's weird.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know... Anyways,
like,
yeah.
don't yo me. I'm sorry. Like, I had this.
No, let me pull up.
Don't yo me. Like, also, I feel like a lot of people don't know how to format emails.
Oh, that's true.
A lot of the younger kids, like, yeah. why? I don't want to see sent from my phone. Why is that sent from my iPhone? That's. Okay, disclaimer that there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing except for my iPhone. There's nothing wrong with that.
We need to have an after hours episode with him
about that,
where we just talk shit about this kind of stuff.
No, because why is there no, like, spacing in your email? There's no punctuation. Like,
there's no you're sign saying, off.
Someone emailed me and said, "Hi, Omar," yesterday, and like Stop. They're asking to, like, work for me, but I'm like, who's Omar?
What?
I'm just like, I get
like when we get those sketchy brands that reach out to us being like, "Hi," and then our Instagram at.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Just don't listen. I don't Please. Even like read that. I don't
like,
open it up.
I don't even go through with it. The amount of friends of mine who have gotten emails like from sketchy brands or whatever, just random brands who are trying to scam you, by the way, mm-hmm. And they'll screenshot to me and be like, "Oh my god, like, is this the real deal? Like, am I getting something? Whatever." And I was like, "Babes."
Be the realest you've ever
Be the realest you've ever
in
your life.
Your mother
I love
life.
You, but your numbers don't match what this brand is looking for, which that's how you know this is a fake email and it is very sketch. I'm not trying to shade you or any kind of way, but if you got 800 people on your IG, I guarantee you Shein is not coming up to you trying to send you some stuff.
Oh, damn. Anyways. Because
I mean, influencers, that's micro-influencers, that's another...
That's a whole other topic.
Podcast.
Yeah.
But...
We'll get to that when we get to that.
So, but where can we find you?
Yeah. Where can the people find you?
I live on, I'm just kidding. Liban Osmani, mm-hmm. Osmani, mm-hmm. Lebanosmani. I don't know why I forgot my own name for a little bit. On Instagram, I have a Twitter, but like, please don't read through my tweets. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, this has been a very fun episode. I had a lot of fun recording this. What about you, Bern?
Yeah, it was fun. It was cute.
Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. I feel like it was good conversation. A lot of compatibility in the room. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
What's your sign?
Sagittarius.
I know. Yeah. I knew you were going to react.
That's crazy.
I know. I feel like when I told you I was Sagittarius, you had... things to say.
No, I didn't have bad things to say, but a lot of Sagittarius men get a lot of
hate. Yeah,
a lot of hate, but
rightfully so.
I don't know why.
When you told me that, it for me it made sense why we got along so well, because my rising is in Sag. So
what's
I was
your
like,
sign?
Okay,
what's your Pisces? Sign? Ooh, you're emotional, aren't you?
Yeah.
What's yours?
I'm a Libra.
I don't have much thoughts about Libras.
Libras are like
flirts.
I was gonna say bimbos, but whatever.
Are you very organized?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you have your own way of being very organized for stuff.
So.
But I would say
Sag males get like the most hate for some reason.
We're gonna talk about that off
Pod. Yeah, we're gonna talk about off the pod, and we can talk about it on an after hours episode as well, because I would want to have you back for that for sure. But needless to say,
my name is Bernie.
My name is Yasmin. You can find us at the Fashion Fopa Podcast on all platforms, TikTok, Instagram.
TikTok is fopa.ca.
Sorry, TikTok is fopa.ca. You can find us on Instagram at the Fashion Fopa Podcast and at fopa.ca on TikTok and on Instagram as well. And you can find us individually at
King Bernie with two E's
and at Yas Isaya on Instagram.
So this is the podcast where we have industry professionals and we talk about the fashion industry.
Mm-hmm. In candid conversation. So, needless to say, we'll see you on the next episode. And remember,
love always.
And always love.
Yay.
That concludes today's episode. We hope you've enjoyed it. Before you leave, make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to us.
Leave us a review if you're on Apple Podcasts.
And catch us in an instant at the Fashion Fopa Podcast on Instagram and individually.
At Kim Burning with two E's at the end.
And at Yasisaya on Instagram.
Until next time, and remember, love always.
And always love.